Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Welcome to episode 44. Today's topic, we're going to talk about keys to happy retirement or refirement, your word of choice. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Muge Wood. Hello, Muge.
Hello, Christine.
How are you?
I am doing great. Actually, as usual, I'm looking forward to our conversation. It's always a highlight for me to pull myself a little bit out of the box and look at things from a different lens, altitude, and perspective. So looking forward to it. And the other thing is, feel like we can, no matter what stage of life we are or no matter what we are doing, we can always use the opportunity and perspective to get refired up. I think that is a continuous work in progress for all of us. So looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah. So let's do this. Let's go back and just look at the week in the rear view. Tell me a little bit about what you've been up to, and I'll give you my update, and then we'll dive into our topic.
Yeah, that sounds great. So the big and most joyful event in my life and the life of my family has been our older son's graduation from college. So he graduated from University of Texas, Austin with a degree in chemical engineering. So kudos to UT for putting together an amazing send-off for the class of 2024, which I think was much deserved given the struggles they went through with the pandemic, both in their senior year of high school as well as freshman year of college. It was very inspiring. The commencement speaker was the first female fighter jet pilot in U.S. Air Force, also a graduate of University of Texas in Austin. I think all of this reflection is life continues to be full of transitions, hopefully many are joyful. This is one of them. Our son has been traveling Europe with some of his friends to celebrate his graduation and before he starts his work. So they put together a very awesome and budget-friendly itinerary that started in Italy and helping them make their way through Northern Europe. So I've been following his travels, his impressions, what he likes, what he doesn't. And it has been a phenomenal journey. And, suggestion and hope for class of 2024 is, live it up, be bold, be courageous, take advantage of the opportunities ahead of you. And just glad to see that. It also gives me much optimism for the future.
That's awesome.
Seeing the youth, grow into their own as leaders in all of their disciplines. So it has been a phenomenal time, which I think, Christine, you also experienced with your kids graduating. So it's been phenomenal.
That is awesome. And I'm so pleased to hear that he's going to, spend some time abroad, because really the education continues, right? I mean, you learn so much about the world and yourself when you travel. And I couldn't think of a better place to start, because everyone is their best self in Italy. So he chose the right place to start for sure.
Yeah, I think this is another way of him being refired up, right? Before, at the end of such rigorous academic curriculum that they have gone through, and he's now going to start his new job. So you've got a 1-month gap. So I think that's a great way of getting refired up, and I couldn't be happier for him and his friends and everyone else who is finding their way to just make some space to grow. You know, personally as well, before jumping into the next professional endeavor. I think we can also probably look at a variation of that when we are in between jobs, or as we retire onto the next chapter, which we are going to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I reflect back to my own graduation. I packed college graduation. I packed my car on a Friday. I started work on a Monday, and then I worked straight for 30 years. Outside of maternity leave. And that is not the way to do anything. You know, so I think your comment about thinking about any time that you can take advantage and appreciate other cultures between jobs, et cetera, working that in is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is fantastic. I'm so pleased to hear, and congratulations. It's always a big family event and success when you see your son or daughter do so well and start to enter the world, you know, as prepared as they're going to be. And it sounds like he chose a great major and he's just off and running. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, we are very happy and just wishing the very best in all that follows. So, Christina, how about you? What have you been up to? I've been seeing some pretty awesome pictures of big smiles, get-togethers in beautiful settings. What have you been up to as of late?
Yeah, so we've been in one of our favorite places, Isle of Palm, South Carolina, and just enjoying, you know, the great weather, spending some time with some friends here, as well as family. I had my mom in town visiting with us from Florida, and just had a just tremendous time just unplugging, basically eating and drinking our way through Charleston, which is so many great opportunities of just amazing, amazing food. We've just been having a great time. We've also worked in some activities, some golf, some tennis. And when you look for inspiration, sometimes it's like right next to you. And that was my 75-year-old mom. You know, she was playing tough with these individuals that were a lot younger than her and not afraid to try anything new, just jumping into these tennis clinics we did at the Wild Dunes Tennis Center. And it was super fun. We just had a blast. So I continue to learn from her and, you know, it was just really, really special one-on-one time.
That is terrific. Such great memories. And I think when we talk about inspiration in our lives and role models, I think there are certainly many, but I think the place of our moms could be rather special. And you know, having the opportunity to make memories is, I think, just really exceptional. So glad to hear that, Christine.
Yeah. Thanks. So let's get into our topic. So Muge, you found this great article, which was published by Kiplinger, and it's just talks through some of the keys to a happy retirement. We've touched on some topics like this, but there's some new information here, which makes it a bit interesting. We know that retirement is definitely a significant life milestone. One of the biggest challenges really is managing the emotional and identity related connection to your career, then moving into retirement. So I know, you know, your husband's just gone through this recently. You certainly have a lot of friends and colleagues who are doing it. This article talks a bit about just some guiding principles. And, you know, I can share also my own personal experience that I've gone through over the last year. But, you know, first they say, hey, like, just acknowledge the emotional mix. It's excitement and it's fear. And, you know, it could be like, you know, how am I going to spend my time? Right? A little bit of curiosity. They also say that recognize that retirement is not just a change in routine, but a change in identity. Encourage yourself to reflect understand your own, you know, sort of emotional makeup, your values beyond your professional role, and then make time to really plan, like, what are your personal goals and passions going to be over the next, you know, chapter of your life. So as you hear some of those things, any reactions, Mugay?
I am just reflecting on how accurate and insightful these reflections are, because I think even when we embark on something less seismic than retirement, let's say we are changing our jobs, or our kid is going to college, you know, any kind of transition, I think there is that element of excitement and fear. And it is even more amplified, I think, when it comes to retirement and the identification of what it means for you. And I think looking at it from a perspective of possibility rather than, you know, end of livelihood is really key, because I think it can truly become the best chapter yet in creating circumstances where passion, skill, interest all come together, hopefully even with more enhanced life perspective, because there is some life under our belt. So being able to put that in action in new ways that bring us joy, that, you know, give us the agency to help others around us is an absolute thrill. Now, having said that, I think it is absolutely scary as well, because there is not exactly a playbook for it, as we had a bit of a playbook right prior to that, where you go to school, you get a job, you may find a partner, you may start a family. So, you know, it's more of a swim lane that we put ourselves in. This one is the, I think, a bit more of a open book to make it what we can, and that is exhilarating and also little scary. So I did identify with a lot of what the article was calling out. But you know, I think the big thing is kind of being mindful of it and embracing it, and just embracing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think the other unique thing that just, you know, sort of presented itself in my mind as you were talking is the other things that we do that do have a playbook or have, you know, norms around them, they're often done with multiple people, right? You know, you're getting married, you have a partner. You go to college, you have a roommate. You, you know, you graduate from college, likely, well, maybe that, depending on what you're doing, you may be a little bit more solo there. But retirement is usually an individual thing, because you're timing it when it's opportune for you and starting out, and you really got to look back in the mirror and say, like, that's now all on me. Like, how am I going to figure this out? What am I going to do day to day? How do I just, you know, enjoy life and make it the best it can be? And there's so much to do too. It's like, where do you want to spend your time to make the most impact?
Right. Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think also, if you look back, we had David McDonald on, and he had gone through his first year of retirement. And one of the things he said that resonated, I think, for a lot of our listeners was retirement, your plan is not exactly going to be as you planned it. Like, plan for the unexpected. Plan for allowing a little bit of flexibility, and try to be a little more open to other ideas, other suggestions than what you initially thought it was, because when you're in it, it feels and looks a lot different than what you might have envisioned. And I think that that's really good advice, because it also helps people maybe be a little less structured than and stringent than they might have been in the corporate world, right? Where you're really set on just, I got this amount of time and I've got to get these things done. And you know, that can be a little exhausting in retirement. You got to be able to be a little bit flexible, I think, and truly to truly enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is, you make great points. It's a big shift because I think it's a move from probably fairly rigid structure to a bit more of an open book, because I think when we are working, especially in corporate America, our days are governed by quest for productivity, output, deadlines, and our work is dependent on others and vice versa. So a lot of it is already claimed and taken by these commitments. And when you, you know, get free from those, it can be a little unsettling and very transitionary, I think, and probably related to what David was saying as well, really getting to know ourselves yet again, in a way, with all the growth behind us and finding our purpose in this chapter. So I think maybe some of us are pretty lucky and they had that purpose, or they had the side hustle or the hobby or the time, so that now they are going to make it more full-time. And for some of us, maybe it's starting from ground zero with the newly found time freedom and resources. So I mean, it's just, I think, an incredible time of opportunity and renewal.
Yeah. In the article, they also talk about a few sort of types of people and how they approach retirement. So a couple of them, I'll just mention, there's more, but you can maybe put yourself in one or multiple of these buckets depending on the day, right? I don't think they're exactly clean archetypes that people say, yeah, I'm always like that. But, you know, they say, you know, the workaholic, who, you know, we've all seen and maybe have been a victim to being a workaholic at different parts in our careers. Well, you know, they say, you know, these individuals may struggle to find purpose without a job and need to find new outlets for their energy. Then you have perfectionists who, instead of always thinking about making sure everything is perfect, be, again, you know, flexible enough to practice the 80% rule, meaning, you know, 80% is good enough. You know, find and prioritize progress over perfection. You have the caregiver type who does everything for everyone else, but kind of puts themselves always last. And that's, you know, draining and can be, you know, really challenging for a happy retirement if you're, you know, not putting on your own oxygen mask first. So like all of these, you know, different types, I think it's just being aware of like where you naturally tend to go so that you can bring that balance back, because quite often our biggest strengths can be our biggest weakness, depending on the context and the situation. So more and more being aware. And then, they do talk about 5 core drivers of identity and purpose. And these are things that I think, you know, our listeners could maybe take a little bit of inventory as I share these, and maybe give yourself 1 point for each thing that you really think you do well. The first driver of identity is connection and building and maintaining relationships. So we've talked about this a lot in our podcast in the past that, hey, you know, this is even more important than exercise. So if you feel like you're really doing that well, you can give yourself 1 point. The second is, you know, how are you continually learning and growing as an individual, keeping your mind active, keeping yourself challenged. That's another opportunity there for driving a sound identity, and that, you know, should have facets of that are both in a professional atmosphere as well as a personal one. Then the third one is purpose, finding activities that support your own values and provide a sense of direction. So if you feel like your values are aligned to the things you're doing each day, and you have, you know, a North Star of what you want to do next and feel, you know, good that the things that you're investing in really create a sense of purpose for yourself and you're a good, you know, maybe role model to your families. I think that's a opportunity to give yourself 1 point. And then the last one is just happiness, pursuing joy and well-being. And that is certainly essential for overall health, both physical and mental. So if you think about those 5 things, any reflections there on ones that may have resonated with you, Mugay?
Yeah, I am reflecting. I think this is a pretty complete canvas of how to think about it. And one thing that stood out to me, Christine, as you're sharing the key pillars, is how these could be interconnected. So we can build our connections around a purpose that gives us joy, that in turn, I think, improves our well-being and happiness. And we can also learn a lot about ourselves and others through those connections. So what stands out to me is seeking these connections in ways that are in support of our values, passions, and purpose can be really key. And I think probably there are different degrees of how far you want to go. I think for some of us, maybe it is, 3 meaningful connections are very fulfilling. For others, maybe it is, dozens. So I think it depends, but finding the connection, I think, is really key, because I think the other point also that was being made in the article is that with retirement, our identity beyond our careers also needs to evolve. And when we come to the crossroads, it can be a little jarring for ourselves as well as for others around us, right? When we are at a party or meeting people, the conversation generally is, so what do you do? And so we are looking at the answer to the question in a very different way. So I think connections to me are at the heart of making all of this fall in place. That is kind of, to me at least, it feels like one thing you can do that helps everything else.
Yeah. And I think also like just getting started. So if there's something you've wanted to do, just start doing it, whether that's taking a class, a language class, learn Italian, learn Japanese, whatever it might be. Bring a friend along with you, you know, that you can enjoy the journey with. I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was telling me how much she loves to read. And she was she had just started participating in a book club that was led by the owner of a local bookstore. And that person, you know, had great content and context for what are some of the best-selling books, what are the best things to read. She started going, and she's made all these like interesting connections, and it's really added a lot of joy in her life, as well as just opened her eyes to something she wouldn't have otherwise, you know, read or experienced. So I always try and think of like, what are some things that you could do that is easy, you know, might be easy to bring a friend, or what are the new things that might not even be on your radar to do to experience some new connection or new growth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. Very true. It's at the hub. And I think we touched on this in a variety of ways in our prior podcasts when we talk about secrets to longevity, health, and finding purpose, happiness, joy, all of those things. They do seem to come through connections, right? There is always the story, which I think is, says a lot. The blue zone, people living exceptionally long, because they have got these deep connections to the community. They do walk over to the cafe, sit together, play backgammon for hours. So whatever that connection is, and I don't think it even have to be for hours necessarily in a given day, even if it is short, I think it can really fill your cup.
Yeah, agree.
Let me ask you this. As you transitioned to your best chapter yet, we've been talking about it, you live a pretty rich portfolio life with many rich activities. What are your reflections in making that transition, evolution of your identity, and maintaining and forging new connections? How did that feel for you? What did you feel helpful, and what did you feel was perhaps something to work through?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking that question. I think for me, what was helpful is that I did have some passions before leaving Microsoft and leaving a corporate career. So I really enjoyed painting, and that I thought in retirement, oh, I'm going to paint every single day. I just cannot wait to do it. That hasn't been true. I still paint quite a bit. I probably paint as much as I did when I was working full time, but I also was able to experience things that I've been wanting to do that I didn't have the flexibility to do. So I've been a lot more physically active. So playing tennis a few times a week, playing competitive tennis. My record this year so far was 5 wins, 1 loss. So I was pretty proud of that. But also I think what I discovered is I still like to learn. I still like to be in service to others. And I still am a little bit coin operated. I like to, you know, make money. So I'm figuring that piece out and still balancing it with what I want in terms of flexibility and, you know, in terms of being able to, you know, see my family who isn't super close, you know, whenever I can, and not having to wait for a weekend, right, to do it. So, yeah, so I think it's still an adjustment. And then I also think that, you know, I've learned when I'm meeting new people that I don't even say I'm retired anymore. They're like, well, what do you do for fun? Well, I paint, I have a podcast, and I do executive coaching right now. And I really enjoy that. So out of those three things, usually there's something that could spurn a conversation. And then I typically ask that person, you know, well, what do you do when you're not at a cocktail party? Tell me more about you, you know, and had the opportunity to really, you know, grow my circle of friends. So I feel really blessed and excited for what's next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story, Christine. I think, you know, you have been doing a masterful job of moving and defining the next chapter on your own terms. As your friend, as your privileged podcast co-host, I can see that. And that's another reason I look forward to our conversations, because you always make me think and inspire me. And you said some pretty impactful things in your reflection, you know, building on what brought you joy, but then learning that maybe that's not something you want to do 20 hours a day. So, you thought you would, but it turns out maybe you need more of a diversification. Maybe down the line, you also are looking at the financial aspect of monetizing your passion, interests, skills, and experience. So, I mean, the continuous learning and openness to that, I think is really key. So thank you for sharing that. For me, you know, as I watch you go through the journey, as I watch my husband go through the journey, who retired a little more than a year ago, I think it's really inspiring, because I am looking at sort of the second half of life as one of great potential. No matter what you do, whether you are retired, not retired, doing something entirely different, and embracing the possibility in that way, as long as we are able, I think is pretty terrific. So as we wind down our time, I think this is a timeless conversation, because there's no black and white answer. But what are some ways by which actionable steps we can make sure we, as well as our subscribers, can think about either to get themselves ready for the transition, or if they are already there, you know, enriching your lives even more?
Yeah, I think the first thing is really tapping into your passions. And one helpful maybe question to ask yourself is, hey, if I had 1 or 2 hours that I can do absolutely anything, what would I be doing that gives me joy? And we've lived at this point, you know, a good amount of time with a lot of experience. I bet, you know, just brainstorming, hey, here are the three things that I would much rather be doing if I had one or two hours will spark some ideas on your passion and your joy. And know that it's never too late to start something new. Some of the most successful people, if you look back in history, some of them started in their late 60s. You know, Judi Dench got her 7 Oscars all after the age of 60. She's a household name. Colonel Sanders created the Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe in his 60s and sold the chain when he was in his 70s. Grandma Moses started painting when she was 76 and had her first exhibition in a museum in her 90s. So, like, think about that. Karl Lagerfeld, I know how you love fashion. While he was always interested in fashion, he didn't become his goal was to become a Chanel designer, and that didn't happen until he was 82 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's never too late to continue to pursue what you love.
Yeah, that's those are some amazing stories of impact. And I'll add one more. I think this was highlighted multiple times in different places, including New York Times. The CEO of Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing company, TSMC. He started this amazing company, which, you know, with all the advances of AI, is a massive demand for high-performing chips. He started this as a retired engineer at the age of 55, maybe a little older. And over the past 20 years, it turned into a powerhouse company because he believed he had something to offer, and there was a need for that. So, I mean, the stories are absolutely incredible. You know, it also makes me think you are not done till you tell yourself you are done. And hopefully that is never. So, I think just thinking limitless is really important, and that's also hard to do because you know, there are certain things about age and our own self-talk that we may put predefined expectations on ourselves, but when we really I think approach it as a bit of an open book, it's just possibilities are endless, as exemplified by all the stories that you shared. That put a huge smile on my face. I mean, it makes you want to go out there and do what you want to do, like do it.
Right, right. And I mean, worst case, you're going to find out what you don't like. So that's even good news. Okay, so I won't need to do that again.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah. I think it's time for us to go do big things again, Christine. And
I agree.
You know, honestly, it may be big for us, but it may not have to be big for everybody even. And that's also okay, as long as, you know, it's meaningful for the individual. I think that still counts in a big way.
Yeah, agree. So we'll do, as always, a link to the article in the show notes. And we want to remind you all to subscribe, share the podcast with a friend who could benefit from some of the things we're talking about. And we're always looking for great guests. So if you have someone you would like to recommend, just drop us a line. You can still find us at refirement.life, the website. And with that, we'll sign off.
Till the next time.
Till the next time.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.